Blog Talk Radio.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking, Chris, shrinking, nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking, honorary degrees from Lincoln, I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend, I'm hip-hop speaking, never the weakling, I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking, them lies and them liars, I still make flyers, I still ride bands and say MC for hire, I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place, mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face, then you got some rappers with that cold broke face, they tour around the world, then they going no place, my KRS one moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop frontin'.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals, what a spectacle, they get mad when I say I and God are identical, you better get on your knees and praise them, these conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too, ooh, deja vu, you seen this all before me, slaying your crew, I'm known by all the kids, I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did, people don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid, me getting bullshit, I can't even count all the dough this month I did, from coast to coast, we roasting toast, I'm hot, me and the ice can't get close,
do
you think they really ready for you now? That there'll be many of you now. Do you really think they're ready for you now? Do you think they're really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they're ready for you now? Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigning supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame. But the airwaves is a shame. And the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we are insane. Like we are to blame for society's pain. Like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic at all. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see by the dawn twilight land gleaming
you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4. I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till I didn't ever ring. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoices rise high. Burning the time, loud as the Lord's sea. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far, oh, oh, long the way, Thou who has bowed Thy might say, oh, to the light, keep us forever, oh, in the past we pray.
Everybody, it's Tuesday. I'm running a little bit behind. Campaigning is wild here in the Shy, man. It is wild here in the Shy. Indictments coming down everywhere. But what does it say about Kanye's not having enough signatures to get on the ballot in Detroit? Somebody from Detroit called in and let me know what's going on with that. We're going to do a little show on what's really going on with these Democrats all around. Not saying the Republicans aren't any good, but after...
Life.
Honey, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, too.
I wish I can change the skin, the color of my skin.
That isn't the issue. You missed the issue.
What's the issue?
The issue is we don't have to broadcast it.
I'm not broadcasting anything. I don't do anything wrong.
Nobody said you did anything wrong.
I don't do anything wrong. If we ever have any issues, it's because people call you and tell you things about me that aren't true.
Why are you broadcasting?
I'm not broadcasting anything.
Why are you taking pictures with minorities? Why?
What's wrong with minorities? What's wrong with black people?
Nothing.
What's wrong with these families?
It's like talking to an enemy. There's nothing wrong with minorities. They're fabulous. Fabulous. Because you're an enemy to me.
Why?
Because you don't understand.
I don't understand what?
Nothing.
That racism still is alive?
No, but there's a culture.
What culture?
People steal certain things. Hispanics steal certain things towards blacks. Blacks steal certain things towards other groups. It's been that way historically, and it will always be that way.
But it's not that way in my heart and in my mind.
But maybe you want to adjust to the world.
But why? If the world doesn't do anything for me and they don't make me happy.
You're right. I don't want to argue with you. I don't want to argue.
I can't be racist in my heart.
And that's good. I'm living in a culture, and I have to live within the culture. So that's the way it is. That's how I got it. I got the whole message. You live with your heart.
I don't... You're
you can't be flexible. You can't...
I am flexible. I understand that that's the way you were raised and that's your culture, and I'm respectful. And
why do you have to disrespect them? Those that are...
Who am I disrespecting?
The world before you.
Why am I disrespecting them?
Well, what, by walking, you're perceived as either a Latina or a white girl. Why should you be walking publicly with black people? Why? Is there a benefit to you?
Is it a benefit to me? Does it matter if they're white or blue or yellow?
I guess that you don't know that. Maybe you're stupid. Maybe you don't know what people think of you. It does matter, yeah. It matters.
Do you know that I'm mixed?
No, I don't know.
You know that I'm mixed.
You told me you were going to remove those. You said, yes, I understand you. I mean, you change from day to day. Wow. So painful. Wow.
People call you and tell you that I have black people on my Instagram, and it bothers you.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
You associate with black people.
I'm not you, and you're not me. You're supposed to be a delicate white or a delicate Latina girl.
I'm a mixed girl.
Okay. Well, but we
and you're in love with me. And I'm black and Mexican, whether you like it or not,
okay.
Whether the world accepts it or not. And you're asking me to remove something that's part of me and in my bloodstream because the world thinks different of me and you're afraid of what they're going to think because of your upbringing. You want me to have hate? Towards black people?
I don't want you to have hate. That's what people do. They turn things around. I want you to love them privately in your whole life. Every day you could be with them. Every single day of your life.
But not in public?
But why publicize it on the Instagram and why bring it to my games?
Why bring the black people to the games? I
really don't want to discuss that anymore. It's over. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm sorry that you feel that way.
I feel that way so strongly, and it may cause our relationship to just break apart. And if it does, it does. It's better to break apart now than to break apart later.
I'm sorry that you still have people around you that are full of racism and hate in their hearts. I'm sorry that you're still racist in your heart. I'm sorry that you live in a world that still...
How about your whole life? Every day, you could do whatever you want. You could sleep with them, you could bring them in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on that and not to bring them to my games.
I don't bring anyone to the game.
Okay, then. There's nothing to argue about.
I know.
okay, we got a big problem here. I really don't feel like going anywhere. I don't feel like going to Europe. I don't feel like just going to the whole thing. We got a big problem. If you didn't like someone that I was with, I would stop seeing that person. And
I'm sorry, I don't have any more friends. What would you like me to do? Remove the skin color out of my skin?
Is that a real issue, or are you making something up?
I mean, I just don't understand what the issue is.
There's nothing wrong with you or your skin color. Why are you saying these things? To upset me? Okay.
Sweetie. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry, too. We made a giant mistake, both of us. Everything you say to me is so painful. Do I want you to change the color of your skin? You know how to really hurt somebody. And to, instead of saying, I understand.
I don't understand how you can have so much hate towards minorities.
I don't have any hate. I love them.
I cannot understand.
Why would you say that?
How a person like you who's elevated, who's here, still feels above the world, and you can't even be seen with someone in which is considered of a different skin color.
They can be with me all day long and all night long.
I can't believe that a man who's educated, a man who's a scholar, a man who's...
Well, believe it and stop talking about it. Let's finish our discussion with a period, okay? You're not making any good points. You can't believe this man.
You're
That's all I am. I'm not a good person in your eyes. If I was a good person, you would say, I can't believe this. I can't believe that.
What am I
But you're all lies. I love this.
Look at all this negativity coming from
There's no negativity. I love everybody. I'm just saying, in your lousy Instagrams, you don't have to have yourself with walking with black people. You don't have to. If you want to, do it.
If it's white people, it's okay? If it was Larry Bird, would it have made a difference?
You're just a big fighter. I could see. Who would want to live with a woman like you? Who would want to live with a woman? All you ever wanted to do was fight. You're a born fighter.
I'm sorry that you're mad.
You're in the worst mouth.
Why are you so angry, honey? What's wrong?
Well, why would you bring up Larry Bird? What has he got to do with it? You can walk all night long with your sisters or your family.
I saw someone I admire. I admire Magic Johnson.
Okay, good.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's made a lot of changes for his community, for the world, for the people, for the minorities. He's helped a lot of people.
Why are you forcing this down my throat? I'm finished talking to you. I have nothing more to say.
And I took a picture with someone I admire.
Good.
And he happens to be black, and I'm sorry.
I think it's nice that you admire him. I know him well, and he should be admired. And I'm just saying that it's too bad you can't admire him privately. And during your entire f***ing life, your whole life.
Whenever or whatever, I blaze for days, stressing, dissing lessons from God. Need some head to take the pain from this job. It's hard times on my boulevard, trying to write rhymes like Jay and Kanye. The illest foul shit on my mind, I say and they'll play. On radios, yeah, where hip-hop lives. Help the clan corrupt the minds, little kids. Love my swag more than they love their own dad. Heard the music industry may be controlled by some fads. And the blow means you really blow to get 50 mil. Gotta be in power, kneel or treat it like one. Hill. Modern slave to the dollar bill to see my own kids. Holler suffer cause they father drunk, slapping their mother. Fuckers wanna see the black man fail. Made it to the NBA, In the field, die from AIDS up in jail, the $1 million slave.
Peace, world. Welcome to another episode, Underground Railroad Radio. This is Brother Rich, your host. Once again, our weekly segment. We are live here with Professor Griff and Sister Zaza Ali, and we're going to have a dynamite show tonight. We have heard all the shows from Oprah to Wendy Williams to Stephen A. Smith. Everybody has talked about this topic. Now it's time to hear the one and only Professor Griffin Zaza Ali. I know y'all are going to appreciate it. I've produced some amazing questions. I've also taken some questions from brothers and sisters from the Facebook community to get y'all more involved with the show. So we're going to get right into it, Professor Griff, Sister Zaza Ali. Of course, this week we're talking about the story that has dominated the headlines, Donald Sterling. And his recorded phone conversation with his mistress, girlfriend, whatever you want to call her, in which, you know, he sounded like he was a plantation, a slave master, and he was running a plantation. And it's what's real ironic is that this phone recording is coming out in this new era we got of slave movies. And me and you, we talk about this. All these slave, like, we're like, where the hell these slave movies come from? Then all of a sudden this come out. So it's like the slave movies is fresh in our mind. Then we hear this, so we think about slavery right off the bat. Now, before I get into the questions, what was so amazing, one of the most amazing things about the tape to me, and just the things that made it so authentic, was that he wasn't angry. He didn't say it in like, you know, when Mel Gibson was talking to his girlfriend, he said, "You're going to get raped by a pack of niggers." And then they could say, "Oh, you know, I was angry. It was the heat of the moment. It just got the best of me. The anger got the best of me." No, he was calm. He told her repeatedly, "This is the culture. This is the culture." He didn't even refer to us as niggers. He politely called us African Americans. This was the most polite form of racism that I've seen, and it makes me feel good because you can't use that excuse, "Oh, I was angry," or, "Oh, well, blacks say the N-word. Why can't they say the N-word?" No. This is this man's lifestyle. He lets you know that this is a club that he's a part of, and he can't go against it. So when he keeps talking about this is the culture, I'm going to start off with this. What culture might he be referring to when he repeatedly tells his girlfriend, "This is the culture"?
I think, in answering that question in all seriousness, the culture that he's talking about is a culture that black people refuse to accept the very and most basic and fundamental principles of, and that is racism, white supremacy, that Dr. Francis Kress Welsing has been telling us about for the longest. This is their culture. Listen, consciously or subconsciously determined. We keep forgetting that part of the fundamental basic definition of racism, white supremacy. Whether some other whites listening to this, whether they know it or know it not, consciously or subconsciously determined. He didn't have to be angry. Dr. Francis Kress Welsing said it. When you're sitting across the table playing chess with someone, right? You're not mad at your opponent, calling them names, licking your tongue, kicking his knee up under the table. You don't have to be mean, nasty, rude, and dirty. It is what it is. This is their culture. And he's talking almost as a matter-of-factly, right? Why don't you know it? This is how things are. The whole idea of the question she asked about the black Jews versus the white Jews. He clearly said it without being angry. No, the white Jews are 150% better than the black Jew. And this is very clear. This is the culture in which that mindset is harvested, so to speak, and encouraged and cultivated. This is that mindset. This is that culture of racism, white supremacy.
I would absolutely agree with everything that he said. The culture is racism, white supremacy, and I would add to that that I don't really understand why any of us would be surprised. All the CEOs and CFOs that are running American corporations operate with this mindset. How many of our brothers and sisters are getting checks from Walmart? How many of our brothers and sisters are spending their money with Nike? How many of our brothers and sisters eat at IHOP? All of these different corporations who are million and billion dollar entities at the top of the power structure is the mindset of racism, white supremacy in all of them. So that's the culture. And this is why when we look at the responses from our people, when we look at the responses from black athletes, when we look, I mean, just the notion of jumping to create a bidding war and purchase a team that you don't even have the power to purchase without them giving you the power to purchase it, three-fourths of the NBA owners actually even have to approve the sale. And 23 of the owners are Jews, white Jews. And so when he makes a comment about black Jews versus white Jews, we're going right back to the power structure of racism, white supremacy. So we got Diddy and Oprah and Magic Johnson and all of these Negroes who have money, who apparently have $500, $600, $700 million sitting around waiting to throw it out to purchase a team. You ain't never been interested in buying a team. Now all of a sudden, because somebody calls you a nigga and tells you what they really think about you, now you want to try to flex your race card, your power broker card. You got that kind of money sitting around, but Detroit has a city full of abandoned buildings, and the schools in Detroit doesn't even have books. But you got that kind of money sitting around to give to this white dude who paid $12 million for the team in 1981? This is racism, white supremacy at its best. We are playing checkers in a world of chess.
Now, I want to play devil's advocate for a second. Mm-hmm. These brothers here, millionaires, multimillionaires, not just the basketball players, Diddy, Oprah, these entertainers that got plenty of bread. I don't know if you know, plenty of bread is a relative term. I don't know if we would consider that plenty of bread, but they got some money. They got some millions saved. Are these brothers and sisters unfairly criticized and sometimes hated on because they have more money than the average black person? That's question number one. Question number two right behind that. Do you think we expect them to do something? Is it too much weight on their shoulders to do something that the average man could do at his regular day job? You face racism at your job, why don't you do something? But because he got millions, he's on TV, you expect him to do something that you won't do at your regular job. You get what I'm saying? What's up with
that? I understand exactly what you're saying. But let me answer the last question. Maybe Zaza can deal with both of them. Did Malcolm X have a regular everyday job? And even if he didn't have a job, didn't he do what he did for all of us? No big I and little you?
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, you expected to do something. All of us are expected to do something. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not a great expectation because you know why? The Mayweathers and the Oprahs and the Diddys and the rest of these people sit where they are because of sacrifices that those brothers' shoulders we stand on, we supposed to stand on, have paved the way for us. Am I right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Also, so that whole idea of that should not even, the question should not even come up or come out of their mouths. No, we don't put too much weight on them, Brother Rich. You understand what I'm saying? God doesn't call you and put the weight on you, the weight that you can't bear. Maybe the weight is on you to test the fiber of the person to see who you really are. Because these same people, if you sit back and you watch them closely, will spend $10,000 gambling, will spend $20,000 in a strip club, will buy some ridiculous car with five wheels, you understand, and two roofs. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And as Zaza said, Detroit is crumbling. Baltimore is crumbling. People are getting young people are getting shot down in Chicago. You mean to tell me Michael Jordan's of the world can't stand up and just put a press release statement out and say something?
Right. I got you.
This is ridiculous. So, yes, there's an expectation from the brother Rich all the way to the Barack Obamas, from the Zaza Ali's all the way to the Michelle Obamas, from the Professor Griff all the way up to the P. Diddy's, Jay-Z's, and the rest of them, to the Chuck D's and the KRS-One, the Mayweathers, all of us. There's a duty and responsibility. And guess what, Brother Rich? We owe it not only to ourselves, to our children, our unborn children, unborn generations, and to the ancestors.
I have a rhetorical question to ask, but it's coming from the bottom of my heart. Why are we acting like our people are not living in hell?
Right.
Like, every time this question gets posed, are we unfairly criticizing them? Is it hate because of money? You know what I'm saying? Are you judging them? It's like, why are you trying to act like a 14-year-old girl didn't just get murdered in Chicago 2 days ago? But we all talking about the Clippers. Our people are dying every day in the streets. Our young children are dying every day in the streets. We always take to whom much is given, much is expected, and much is required, but we can't hold them to a certain standard. We weren't at Oprah Winfrey's door when that six-month-old baby got murdered in Chicago, and she's right there. We're not in Detroit looking at the NBA players out there knocking on their door, like, why are you not doing anything about the problems in your community? They don't even have to use their money. They could use their clout. They could use their voices. To be honest, if our people weren't in the condition that they're in, we wouldn't even be talking about them. We just sat back. Neither one of us really said anything. We just sat back and looked at the amount of attention and clamor that this one story has actually made.
Right.
So when we talk about how much money they have, how much money did black people put in their pockets? How many young brothers and sisters is struggling trying to spend $200 and $300 to buy Dre Beat earphones for their children and they can barely make the rent? How many young sisters and brothers line up in those lines in the cold at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning trying to buy Michael Jordan tennis shoes?
Getting stabbed, pepper sprayed.
Getting shot and stabbed, and he won't even say anything about it.
That's right.
How much money did black people put in P. Diddy's pocket? This is a reciprocal relationship. We made them who they are, not just economically, but the essence and the spirit and the soul and the melanin and the righteousness of our people that comes from us. So, hell yeah, they have a responsibility to our people.
And another thing, Rich, in the headlines, all right, in the headlines, at the same time this was going on, all right, you're talking about distractions. In the headlines, the same thing, at the same time this story took on a life of its own, when you and I first texted one another about it, the other thing that was in the headline was the Vatican high priest got together and had a council meeting and admitted to the world that they have decided that Jesus will not be coming back. That's a hell of a goddamn news story. Am I right or wrong?
You ain't lying about that.
It got no play. Am I right? Come on, talk to me. But yet this chick, whoever she is, Stiviano, for some strange reason, this conversation was recorded and ended up on the desk of somebody at TMZ. How did that happen? How did the whole thing, and first of all, who is this chick? And then where the hell was the wife? And what kind of game, what kind of sexual game are they playing that the wife, the wife has a part-time job being the wife. She obviously staying somewhere else because dude has a damn girlfriend, and everybody's just happy with the arrangement. And then he can just fire her and get rid of her as though she's been hiding and do what she do. But listen, bruh, Jesus ain't coming back. But yet we can talk about buying a team. Come on, man, something is wrong with this, bro. You know, we need to prioritize our priorities, man, for real.
You know, we live in today's society. You see a lot of the biracial thing going on, a whole lot of it. They're promoting it. I don't know if I talked to you or the brother Phil Valentine about it. They're promoting. It seems like the interracial thing and the gay thing is their two biggest agendas. Now, when people see this interracial thing going on, the black, white, you know, the couples, they're like, oh, racism is a thing of the past. Oh, look, everybody, you know, black and whites are getting along, they're marrying, having families. People want to know, how can a racist be married to a person of the opposite sex that they don't even like the race they belong to, but yet they're married with them and have children with them? What's the psychology behind that where a white man doesn't like the race you belong to, but hell, fuck you? How can you be married to some? Because when people see this, they assume there's no racism. You know, they're saying, I don't see color. Color is blind. I don't see color. But yet, they hate the race that the person they're married to belongs to. What's the psychology behind that?
The psychology behind that is what I talked about earlier, dealing with Dr. Francis Cresswell Wells in fundamental definition, a working fundamental definition of racism, white supremacy. She basically goes into the whole idea whether it's understood by white people on a conscious level. You see, subconsciously, white people are trying to survive genetically. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And when you look at the psychology of that, almost oxymoron, when you really look at it, it's almost like, I hate these people, but yet in order for me to survive, all right, I got to plant my seed in them. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The psychology of that, I know it sounds kind of strange, but they will not be on the planet in a minute. And the sad part about that, Brother Rich, I know what you're thinking, and I know what the people are thinking from hearing this. Wait, if he do plant a seed in her, the baby's not going to come out white. And that's absolutely true, but that's the psychology of it. You understand? That's the only thing they feel that they can survive. It's almost
right.
Like the ship is going down, and the only thing I have to grab onto is the life raft, but the life raft is black.
Right.
I would say that it's that same mindset, maybe a different side of the coin, but it's that same mindset that drove those slave masters from their nice, comfortable, beautiful plantation homes where their wives slept into those small, dirty, decrepit slave cabins behind the house, you know what I'm saying, to get with those sisters who were also slaves. I think that there is a subconscious and conscious desire for black women, black men as well, but it's a little bit different. But there is a conscious and subconscious desire for black women. But I think that there's a part of white men that hates that desire. So it's a walking and talking contradiction where you want to have it, but you hate yourself for wanting it because everything in society tells you that you should not want that, that you should not have that. So, and there's a lot of stories. I hear about this all the time, particularly with black women who get with white men. Women who are in relationships and will be like, my husband calls me a nigga. I don't understand why.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? What part of the game is that? Like, how does that work? You know what I'm saying? But I think that when we talk about what Francis Cresswell teaches, and even when we go back to all of the civilizations, they have a innate desire at all times to rule our people. So when you're in a relationship with a white man or with a white woman, there is a fine line between that love relationship, family bond, and this rulership personality that comes out. And I've seen this from Caucasians in a lot of different ways, even so-called friends. When you get in a tight spot or when your back is against the wall or when somebody has to make a decision, the ruler in them comes out. You know what I'm saying? So I think that there is a contradiction and a hypocrisy when it comes to those relationships. And this is why you see a lot of black people, when they marry into white relationships, they don't really deal with their people anymore. I'm not saying all of them, but you don't really see a lot of interracial couples coming back and giving back to the community and teaching and making that white person come back and be a part of the community, not just the intimate family, but the community. They're being ostracized and pulled into that world opposed to still being able to keep their black self. It's a very weird dynamic, but I personally don't see why why any of us would take that route. But as far as this Sister Stiviano goes, there was an article in The Root The sister, a black woman, wrote this article, of course, Don't Knock V. Stiviano's Gold Digging Hustle. And in this article, a black woman named Demetria Lucas wrote an article. It's titled Don't Knock V. Stiviano's Gold Digging Hustle. This is the scandal and reality TV mindset right here on deck that a lot of, unfortunately, our sisters seem to have. But in the article, she says that he bought her $2 million gifts. They were together for 4 years. She got 4 luxury cars, 1.8 million duplex home. He gave her $240,000 for living expenses. Like, she's going into detail about the money that this man gave her, totally ignoring the fact that as he disrespects her people, he's disrespecting her. How do you put that on the sideline? How do you not acknowledge that? I mean, just for me, hearing what he was saying, I'm trying to figure out what's going through this sister's mind as she's sitting back and listening to this devil talk about her people, telling her what to do and how to do it. I don't understand it. And she also mentioned in the article that the backlash that she's getting is probably jealousy, which I find really interesting. Like the question you asked before about, you know, it being hate because people have money. You know, celebrities have money and we're calling them to task. Now we're looking at this sister and her being put on blast for the world to see. And, you know, the question is, are people jealous just for having logical and rational thinking while assessing the situation? It's crazy.
Now, this scandalous mindset that some of these sisters have now, right? Would not the average woman getting that kind of money that Zaza just ran down from this, this character, wouldn't the average woman be quiet and stay in her so-called proverbial place?
Mm-hmm.
Why did she do what she did? This is the question. Now, we have to answer this.
Now,
luxury home, 4 cars. Wait, we ain't talking about 4 Hondas. We ain't talking about fucking 4, you know, Eclipses or 4 Fusion. You understand what I'm saying? We talking about 4 luxury cars. We talking $1 million home just to be somebody's girlfriend. The average sister would shut the hell up. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah.
So it's something about the power in the level of respect that that woman must have had for herself and her freedom and wanting to be free as a woman that spoke way above that money and those riches. It's something else there, man. It's something deeper than just the money.
Professor Griff, what do you think about Donald Trump saying that this was a bad girlfriend? She was a bad woman for, I think he said she was luring him into those types of statements he made. What do you think about that?
If you really listen to the conversation, first of all, who gives a fuck about what Donald Trump says? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, bad girlfriend? What are you, fucking Rent-A-Chick? What the fuck is this? 1-800-RENT-A-CHICK? So you get a girlfriend and here's the rules and regulations, just look cute on my arm at the game? No, these are real women, man. These are real walking and talking, living, breathing human beings. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And he even said it in a very calm way. He says, well, if you don't want to do X, Y, Z, I'll just get another one. And so these some conveyor belt kind of chicks that just, you know, it's like you can get a new basketball. This just sent a signal out to a lot of women. Matter of fact, all women. You should not take up this position with these kind of people, money or not. But I know a lot of people, a lot of women that will. They'll bend over backwards and do some gymnastics and some backflips to be in the position that that woman was in. You understand what I'm saying? So Donald
right.
Trump, Alex Jones, and the rest of them are steeped into the culture, as we mentioned earlier, of racism, white supremacy, whether they know it or know it not.
What's the difference between being prejudiced and being racist, Professor Griffin Zaza?
Well, that's a great question. Racism denotes, first of all, anytime the word the ism is placed at the end of the word, it denotes a way of life. It denotes a systematic influence. So racism is denying health care. Racism is denying employment. Racism is snatching natural resources from the original people of the planet and then paying them to use it. Racism is the global power structure that is the NBA, to where you have 23 Jewish owners in a league that is 70% black, and you have to have three-fourths of those owners to agree on who the next person that's going to come in, if they're even going to be able to get in.
Right.
This is controlling and monopolizing wealth. Racism is less than 1% or 1% of the world population who controls the majority of the money of the global economy. Racism is undeveloped educational systems. Racism is what happened to Detroit. Racism is ostracizing and handicapping black mayors and black leaderships. Racism is Al Sharpton. We'll give you money. We'll give you fame. But you got to work for us.
You got to wear a wire.
You got to do what we tell you to do. You're going to sing the song and dance like we tell you, so your people can actually think that you have made some strides. When it all boils down, you haven't done anything. Al Sharpton went outside of L.A. Staples Center and marched against the Clippers.
And in the face of racism and white supremacy, all they did, like you told me earlier, take off some
things. Exactly. All they did, you know what I'm saying, they played the game, made the money. They went to Oakland, played the Clippers game. I mean, the Clippers versus Warriors game. The Jewish owner who owns the Warriors game made his money for the night. They made their ratings. Everybody got paid, and all they did was take off their shirts and throw them on the ground. This is what racism, white supremacy is. It is a power structure that keeps certain people, our people, Hispanics, poor people, at the bottom of the barrel, and it keeps a certain elite people at the top. Prejudice is me prejudging someone, example, a white person, me prejudging them based on their history, based on something that I know about them. So I'm prejudging what they might be capable of or who they may even be. Now, okay, I have the right to prejudge you. That's something that I have the God-given right to do. But you're not going to lose sleep over that at night.
Yeah, but check this out. What if she made a statement in reference to white people?
It would have been a totally different, yeah. If she would have made those statements about white people, it would have been totally different. But prejudice is not going to, you're not going to lose sleep over me prejudging you. You will lose sleep. We've lost a lot of sleep off of dealing with and living in a system of racism and white supremacy. It's two totally different things, and black people really need to get that definition and that just that idea down pat, because a lot of times we get stuck in conversations because people back you up. Oh, that's reverse racism, or you're a racist. No, as a black woman living in America, it is impossible for me to be a racist. The system will not back me up to be a racist. The system of racism, white supremacy backs white people up, like Trayvon Martin, the judge, the coroner, the police, everybody in the system backed George Zimmerman in order to support racism, white supremacy.
And that's very real, Rich, because like Zaza said, if that woman, Stiviano, was caught on tape making statements against white people, we wouldn't even be on the phone talking about this. They would have told her, okay, and who are you? Go just get another girlfriend. Fire her, quit her, break up with her, get another girlfriend. You can find three like her. Am I right or wrong?
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. Racism is a power structure maintained by people who classify themselves as white, whether they know it or know it not, or not. Racism is not prejudice. It's not prejudging. Hell, as long as we've been in America, up on the white people, we ain't got to prejudge. You understand? We know exactly what the hell they do. And this is it. And this is it. Let me tell you something, man. This is the billionaire boys club that you're witnessing. This ain't no little millionaires club now. Are you following me? This is the billionaires boys club. This is the people that's in the club. And the people in the club got together and said and told one of the other people in the club, look, slap him on the wrist and fine him $2.5 million. Bruh, let me tell you something, man. If you got $1 billion, right,
And you bought a team in 1981 for $12 million, and now it's worth $575 million. And you're the 13th most valuable franchise in NBA history. Are you worried about some goddamn $2.5 million? He gave that to the chick. He spent that on his girlfriend. Am I right or wrong?
On his side chick, huh?
Thank you. He spent that on his girlfriend, man. He ain't worried about no 2.5 and banned for life. That motherfucker's 80 years old. He don't give a fuck about if he's banned for life. He don't care. Banned for life. What does that mean? You see, that means something to us. Oh, he can't go to the game forever. Give a fuck. He don't care. Listen. He's about to make $1 billion, dude, off the sale of a team that he don't even give a fuck about anyway. He was already calling them niggas. What was the total amount of money that he paid the whole team? $80 million. $80 million. The team is worth $575 million. $80 million is some fucking petty cash. Petty cash, dude.
Now,
he paid his team $80 million, and he gave the jump off 2.5. That's nothing to him.
You mentioned earlier, Griff, about the comment he made about the black Jews in Israel, and Sister Zaza made several references to the fact that I believe 23, she said, of the owners are Jewish.
23?
Yeah. 23? Was it 23?
23, yeah. Also 23 of the NBA team are all owned by Jewish families. The former NBA commissioner, Dave Stern, is a Jew. And this is the Billionaires Boys Club.
Okay, so now
Wait, and Adam Silver's a Jew. So we're talking about Jewish family business now. All right, let's talk.
Now we have the NAACP. 2009, they gave him the Lifetime Achievement Award, I guess it's called. He was about to get another one this year. That's two. Now this must be, goddamn, he must be one of the greatest human beings on the face of the earth. They giving this motherfucker two Lifetime Achievement Awards within a 5-year, 10-year period. Now, we know the NAACP was founded by Jews. So that leads me to ask, what you think about this whole integration thing, Griff? Was this a trick, man? They say the Jews funded the civil rights movement. Larry Johnson suggested us start our own basketball league. What are we going to do about this, Griff? Is this ever going to work, this whole integration thing? Because every time we turn around, Griff, let's be honest. Me and you, we just had a show 3 weeks ago about Al Sharpton, how our black leadership, the majority that we see on TV, is bought and paid for. Is this going to work, Griff? Are we wasting our time with this integration thing? What's up?
I think when we ask the question, we have to be ask the question about are we wasting our time with this integration thing. I think we have to be very real with ourselves. Those other people are not integrating themselves. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Let's be very clear what we're talking about. She was the jump off, the side piece. He wasn't leading a family fortune with this chick. All right? Is it ironic the wife came back just in time to save the day? But where was the wife when the jump off was going to the games and playing girlfriend? You understand what I'm saying? So this is not some play thing that we're dealing with when we're talking about how they will sacrifice aspects of who and what they really are and hide who and what they really are to play this quote unquote game of life. All right, to see that their bloodline lives on. Listen, we're talking about heading up and starting the NAACP, Spin Gone Brothers, and a few other people that was not even mentioned in the history of it, all right? And then even when they so-called turned it over to the Black Boule, and Boule simply means advisors to the king, they still ran it secretly. And then they used the NAACP to be a spy network for the black community, and them Negroes in the Boule had to report back to their Jewish controlled handlers everything that black people were doing. So isn't it ironic that now this gentleman, Sterling, gets in trouble, but at the same time, behind closed doors, He's feeding the NAACP money, and it receives awards from the NAACP. That's not ironic. That's in line with racism, white supremacy, and how it's supposed to work. Be quiet, Negroes. Here's some breadcrumbs. Give me the awards. Let me stay cool with black people because I'm the owner of a team that's predominantly black. The relationship is fine. Long as you niggas don't get out of place and step out of line. God forbid if you try to marry one of my Jewish daughters, then it's a problem. And we have to be very, very real about this. So the NAACP immediately took action and took the award back and wanted to return some of the money. These Negroes are out of their goddamn mind. And then he was up to receive another lifetime achievement for doing what? But what did he do? I don't understand. What are they giving? Listen, the NAACP says, embattled Los Angeles Clippers owner Donald Sterling will not be receiving a lifetime achievement award for the Los Angeles from the Los Angeles branch. Sterling had been slated to receive the honor May 15th. For doing what? This is the question we have to ask. So the question that you asked, brother, no. Every leader has said it. The interracial thing, the interacting between black and white people, the intermarrying, interracial thing will not work. Elijah Muhammad said what? We need to separate from these people.
That's the only solution.
Just as far as the NAACP, I mean, they still refer to our people as colored people. So, I mean, I think just having a name, you know what I'm saying, in 2014, that still points us back to, you know, those days when people were actually calling us colored people and we were actually abiding by those terms, speaks volumes. But, you know, I did some research on the NAACP and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, where they donated $1.6 billion, I believe it was, to the NAACP for black schools, black scholarships. 65% of those scholarships go to non-blacks. So
wow.
We have the NAACP who has all of this money, $1.6 billion donated, and there's another story behind that, but we'll get to that another time. And 65% of the money goes to non-blacks. I think that in itself speaks to who and what the NAACP stands for. And I can't remember the name of the guy who was the head before whoever it is now. But I remember watching an interview for him, and he was clear that the NAACP was evolving to be more inclusive of other races and that we don't just stand for black or African-American people. Well, that's part of the problem, and that's why we really never get anything done, because black leadership is for sale, and we're so busy trying to incorporate everybody else in our struggle that when the money starts getting divvied up, we don't get anything. As far as interracial dating, as far as assimilation, no, we absolutely, it's been proven time and time again. I don't care what anybody says. The assimilation of the two races is just absolutely not beneficial and detrimental to our people. We have to separate. And I'm not talking about going off in an island somewhere and starting a new civilization. I'm talking about mentally, emotionally, and spiritually separating from these people. It's time.
But Rich, let me say one thing, Rich. What is the difference in having a gala in 2014 and honoring this man with an award and then turn around the next year to honoring him again with another award? And what's the difference between that and Negroes like Magic Johnson refusing to speak up? Negroes like, what's the dude's name, Lonzo? Alonzo?
Yeah.
What is the difference with calling yourself a colored Negro and acting like one? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, we have to understand the dynamic in what we're dealing with. People were so quick to take sides. Kobe Bryant says, well, I wouldn't even play for him. Negro, you will play. Listen, who do you play for? Who owns the Lakers?
Jerry Buss
and two other people. So you work for them. You just work for his cousin, that's all. What are you talking about, Kobe? These Negroes need to smarten up for real, man. Let me tell you something. The same thing that was hiding in Matter of fact, he wasn't even hiding in Sterling Park. Because if you look at his track record outside of sports, look at the things that he was doing. Wouldn't rent to black people, Mexicans, or any other ethnicity, right? That is his track record. They called him the what? The most, they called him the most richest slumlord.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? They called him one of the richest slumlords. Having a piss fit, man, on just renting to black people. So we have, this is documented. Elgin Baylor, they said, has a lawsuit against this guy. So what more proof do we need? What more proof does the NAACP need that this character did not even need to be receiving an award from black people? But we're not talking about black people. We're talking about the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. It says the richest slumlord in America's sports ownership will make a killing on the sale on the sale of the L.A. Clippers. But Sterling has lost his courtside seats, his trumped-up charitable photo ops, and celebrity status in Hollywood. Who cares? Dude is about to make $1 billion. He lost his make-believe importance in a make-believe city called Hollywood. How befitting. It's all make-believe anyway, bro.
What would you have done, Griff? You're playing basketball. You're in a situation such as Chris Paul in the Clippers. What would have been the appropriate response? What would you have done in that situation?
To be honest with me, I'm going to let Zaza answer that because we've had this discussion ever since you and I text one another. And to be honest with you, I've seen the thing that they're passing around on the internet about Chris Paul. And to be honest with you, I don't know Chris Paul, but I don't understand people calling him out. If my career and my lifeline was on the line, and if I was Chris Paul and the owner of the team that I played for made those kind of comments, what I would do, first thing I would do, I would confirm whether or not that these comments was actually real. He actually did say this. He said this. Once I confirm that, I call my teammates together. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's easy to isolate one person, and I've been in that situation before. I call the team together, and I say, look, man, we're going to make one powerful, bold stand. You understand what I'm saying? And we're going to speak volumes. Let me say this, man, and please hear me out. Like I said, I don't know Chris Paul. I don't know. You don't know him. We don't know what's hiding in his heart or what's going through his head. He may have wanted to run up on a dude with his heat. We don't know that, right or wrong.
Right.
But guess what happened when John Smith and Tommy Smith and John Carlos made their bold stand at the 1968 Olympics. They put their whole lives on the line for that one defining moment, and all they did was threw their fists in the air, right or wrong. And that speaks volumes to this day. Am I right or wrong?
Muhammad sure does.
Jail rather than go put on a uniform and take a gun to go fight for his open enemy. That's a bold stand. Am I right or wrong? Why don't these Negroes have this history? And why don't they notice, from Chris Paul on down, that if all of them not only took their sweatsuits off and threw it in the middle of the court, all of them threw their sweatsuits down and went the fuck home that night. What was wrong with that? No, I'm dead serious. Go the fuck home.
Right.
Go watch shit on TV. Y'all do your thing. It would have been no game. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong?
No, you're definitely right, brother. You definitely.
It would have kept ripples effect through the NBA. And if every man that had self-respect and dignity would have did the same damn thing, what if the Warriors would have did the same thing? There would have been no game, right or wrong.
Shut it down, yeah. Shut it down.
Shut it down. Elijah Muhammad said this ain't nothing but sport and play in your damn way.
And it would have showed the power of the players.
Exactly.
Because he liked it, like he said in one of his one of the tapes, he said that we do this. We the owners are the ones
30.
Who run this show.
Right.
The 30 owners, in his mind, they're the ones who are running the show. I think if they would have made a stand like that, even if it was just for one game, do you know how much money would have been lost from TV ratings, from ticket sales, if every player would have sat one game out? And who could have been mad at them? How could they have gotten a backlash? But I want to read something to you real quick, brother, from $40 Million Slaves, which is a book written by William Roden. Before I do that, let me just say, the hypocrisy shown to Chris Paul and people passing around this 12 Years a Slave picture and making mockery of him, but at the same time, we look at Jay-Z and Jay Electronica, and because they're rocking chains or saying little trigger words in their records, their God body. I really don't understand the hypocrisy.
I don't understand it either.
I really don't get it. So Jay-Z and Jay Electronica are God body and Chris Paul is a slave. But you work for the same mindset and the same type of people that Chris Paul is doing something. Have either of them spoken up to speak on their behalf or to speak out against what happened? I don't know. Have they said anything?
Jay-Z is owner of a team, right? Michael Jordan.
Jay-Z has ownership interest in the NBA. Michael Jordan didn't even want to release a statement at first.
Yeah, he waited until it was safe. He waited until it was safe.
Well, he declined to comment initially, but I'm pretty sure somebody came knocking at his door like, you know, you have to say something. Can't sit this one out. But in the book, $40 Million Slaves, he says, do the players see themselves on a plantation? I think they do. All the owners are white. That creates the dynamic. The owners are white, the coaches work for the white owners, and the industry is run by white commissioners. Anyone who exercises power over them is white, and they feel or believe that the owners are taking more value out of them than what the owners are putting in. And my question to myself when I sat back and thought about this, because I didn't want to rush to say anything, how did those brothers feel that night after hearing that dude talk about them and disrespect them and speak about them like they were peons? What was going through their souls and through their minds and through their spirits that night? Did they sleep? Were they able to look in the mirror? Were they able to look in the faces of their children?
Right.
How can you have somebody – see, this is the thing, and this is a teaching moment, and this is what we need to be clear about when we're talking to our children, especially our sons who aspire to be like these athletes. Why do we hold them with such high regard? Why do we worship celebrities and athletes? Because that must be a hell of a thing to have all that money and not really have any power.
Right.
And I think that we need to use this right here as a teaching moment for our children. Who does this world respect when it all boils down to it? And what does what is the real value of money and fame and celebrity culture in this society? When somebody can just call you a nigga to the world, and all you do is take your shirt off and throw it on the ground. And that's not to say that hopefully something is going to happen coming soon. I mean, it's the playoffs, so if they were going to do something, now would absolutely be the time, especially when you strike while the iron is hot. But I'm really disappointed, and my son loves basketball. I wish that I can tell him something till I'm blue in the face, but I wish that somebody – one of these brothers has stood up and said something that could resonate with the hearts and the minds of these young black boys who are listening to this and looking at this, and somewhere inside of them there's this little kernel of fear and, you know, feeling some kind of way that they could just be so disrespectful to those brothers like that. I will say Jalen Rose went off. On, you know, when he was doing his interviews, he went in and was very vocal as far as how he felt about it. So I got to give that brother props. But the rest of these players, it's really a sad thing to see.
Let me ask you something, Brother Rich. So what if he sells the team? And what if he gets $1 billion? And now you got some more white Jewish owners. Is the dynamic of how they feel and think about us, is that going to change?
Highly unlikely.
It's not. It's just the fact that maybe Mark Cuban and the rest of the Jewish owners of the 23 basketball teams, maybe they're just a little bit smarter. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe it's the culture among them. You don't speak above a whisper. Did I not mention that in my book, The Psychological Covert War on Hip Hop? You understand what I'm saying? This is their plan. It's in the secret covenant. You understand what I'm saying? If you read The Secret Covenant, what we're going through right now is there, and I put it in my book as proof. Speak above a whisper. You understand what I'm saying?
They're over every field of endeavor that black people can aspire to. It is them. This is what they said about themselves. So this shouldn't be, let me tell you something, bro. When I first heard this, when you and I text one another, I wasn't shocked. I'm shocked to see other black people shocked that this dude would make a statement like this. That's what I'm shocked about. This is their culture.
He said it on the tape. It's the culture.
Exactly. He just didn't want to waste his time trying to get his girlfriend to understand the culture. So can I ask you a question, and maybe Zaza can answer this?
Right.
If you read the transcript, he basically said, I'm just saying, in your lousy blank Instagrams, you don't have to have yourself walking with black people. What is the problem being seen with black people? Barack Obama says, when ignorant folks want to advertise their ignorance, you don't have to do anything, you just let them talk. That's a stupid-ass statement for a stupid-ass idiot who's president. That's not dignified. That's not diplomatic. That's dumb. That's stupid. And it's empty. And it's devoid of soul and feeling and compassion for your people. Back to the question. It's like, what is it? What's the problem with racism and white supremacy that this devil don't even want his girlfriend, who's part black, he don't even want her being seen on Instagram with a black man? What does that do to white people? This is a question we should be asking. Wait a minute. He didn't say don't have sex with them. You can't marry them. I don't even want you seen with them. And then he mentioned the fact that so he don't start getting calls from his friends. It says don't put him, Magic, on Instagram for the world to see, so they have to call me. And don't bring him to my games. I don't even start to understand the dynamic. When I first heard it, I thought it was really childish. But when you really look at it and you really listen to him, this is their culture. This is their culture. Like Zaza said, you can only keep her in the dark and creep with her in the middle of the night. You understand what I'm saying?
When he talks, you know, it's funny you say that. You know, with him, along with many other racists, the more they talk, the more you see that their superiority complex is really just a disguise for their inferiority complex.
Right.
It comes out more and more with each word that they say. You see the intimidation factor where a billionaire could be intimidated by a thousandaire or a millionaire or, you know, however much money. It comes out. The more they talk, and you're like, damn, they feel superior. They think they're better than us. But the more they talk, the more you see that, wow, they're really intimidated by us. And that's definitely what I got from just listening to him speak. Now,
well, you know,
Frances
Cress, let me just say this real quick, brother. Frances Cress Welsing said in one of her lectures, she said, anybody walking around saying, I'm superior, I'm superior, I'm superior, really doesn't feel superior.
Right.
That's it.
But brother, can I ask a question real quick, please?
Yeah.
And I really need this question answered. And maybe Zaza or you can answer this. What are the white players saying about this?
Right, exactly.
It's a simple question, bro. And number two, is Elgin Baylor, are they going to reopen his case? Elgin Baylor also sued Donald Sterling because Elgin Baylor was an executive for the Clippers. He sued him for racial discrimination though a jury was ultimately not convinced, and they shot down Baylor's case and threw it out. Now it's proven, all right, the discrimination did take place. Are they going to reopen Elgin Baylor's case? And then what are white players saying about this? Wait a minute. The same white players you've been playing for and your buddy, and you invite them over for picnics and all this other kind of madness. What is your white player friend saying about this? This is an interesting dynamic, man.
Yeah.
Stojanovic and all these other white players, what are they saying? We don't see color. All of us are equal. We have a brotherhood among the players. All of us are yada, 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 whoop, whoop. Yeah, right. Where's your white voice at now to speak to obvious racism and discrimination against your black players? I don't hear one white voice, man.
Somebody from Facebook direct messaged me. They wanted me to ask you guys that they felt as though it would be a little different if this was a situation that happened with somebody gay, and they wanted to know, do you think, is the gay struggle comparable? Because, you know, you always hear the gay struggle comparable to the black struggle and what we went through. So they want to know that. They feel as though it's not comparable, and they want to ask you guys, is it comparable? And if so, if not, why?
You know what? I'm really glad whoever that person on Facebook is asked that question, because I said earlier, and I'm really glad you give me a chance to say this, you know, there's this term floating around now that gay is the new black. And we've started mixing the struggles of all of these different ethnicities and races and cultures of people with the struggle of black people in America. And I think that this is just one example, along with the 14-year-old girl who just got murdered 2 days ago, along with the six-month-old baby that was killed, along with Kendrick Johnson and his organs being removed, and all of us just sitting back and acting like it's a hunky-dory party, along with the disposal of the black woman, the disrespect of the black woman, along with the million-plus black men in jail, along with the disintegrating public school systems and all of them closing down in areas like Chicago where they need the schools more than ever. I can run down a list of 100 things, probably 200 things right now just off the top of my head that separates the struggle of black people in America from everybody. And the first one is that we spent 400 years putting our labor, our blood, sweat, and tears into the building of this economy and the global economy, so that devils like David Sterling had a platform, so that Sterling, so that he would have a platform to be able to put the money and invest. All of the global wealth came on the backs of black people.
Right.
That's what separates us from gays. We're talking about a way of life and a sexual connotation. How dare you compare that to the struggle of our people? We've been here since the planet was here. There is no comparison.
I have absolutely nothing to say about that. That was well spoken and very well said. I approve that message.
Oh, man.
Listen, gay simply means happy. Didn't Pharrell say that?
Oh, man.
He said he's happy. What do you think Pharrell was saying? We ain't going to break that down. I don't want to get into that metaphysical thing, but we're going to talk with someone else is up, man.
Okay. All right, well, we're about to wrap this up, everybody. Let me see if I got one more question. Let me run down this list. Do you think this is something? It seems as though we got a short attention span, Griff and Zaza.
Right.
Is this something, you know, with Hurricane Katrina or with Trayvon Martin or with anything? You know, it happens and people get emotionally involved and they forget about it 2 months from now. And then they say, what racism? What are you talking about? That's a thing of the past. Is this just something that people, the majority of the masses, are just going to forget about by summertime at July 4th cookout? You're not going to even remember this?
I think to be honest with you, I'm in a situation with a woman who not only constantly reminds our people, but in some cases I'm around her, and as we do the shows, I hear it all the time, and it's like to hear it and for her to keep sounding the alarm. It's one of those situations like she feels, and I think I feel, you feel. We want our people to feel that. The common bread, the common pain, the common experience. But you're right, we have a short attention span now. People forget real easy and real quick. You understand what I'm saying? to the point where we will almost forget that we've even been through 400 years of slavery. And then because we forget, we have a short attention span, someone will do something to us and we will let them off the hook. Like, what's the dude's name? Leon Jenkins, asking Christians to pray and forgive Donald Sterling, for he know not what does. You understand what I'm saying? And I said earlier, he knows exactly what he's doing. As long as he's been doing it, he's an expert at it, as Malcolm said. So, yes, we do have a short attention span, so much so it almost acts like a, what is this thing that you get overwhelmed with so much pain, it actually shuts you down and you can't even function.
Shock.
You get shocked. It's almost like you're in shock. You're in shock. And you can't even do nothing. You can't even make progress. You can't think. You can't eat because you're in a state of shock. You have to come up out of that and probably get shock treatments in order to come up out of that traumatic experience that you've been experienced. So much so, the Stockholm syndrome kicks in, and then you start to make way for your oppressor. You start to fall in love with the oppressor because maybe they'll let you on the team. And out of the $575 million the team is worth, maybe he'll give you $1 million. Now you're the big nigga on the block, so now you can go home, and now you're successful, and you can do PSAs about how good white people are. And everything is hunky-dory now, right? So now let's forget about slavery, because you're getting $1 million from these people. Now you don't want to mess that up now, do you? You damn right. There's a few things, brother, that I can mention off the top of my head that'll lull back black people right back to sleep, and we'll forget about 400 years of servitude to white people in a racist society that we live in.
I'm going to answer that, but I just want to make sure that I get one thing off my chest real quick. Larry Johnson made a comment on his Twitter page, and it appears that it resonated with a lot of people because everybody's sharing it. He said, black people, you are focusing on the wrong, you're focusing, not us, not we, black people, you're focusing on the wrong thing. We should be focusing on having our own team, own league, do for self. Question, prior to this scandal, was Larry Johnson doing anything to move that idea into reality? Or are these just words that sound really good, that deflect attention from the reality of the situation, from the deep-seated racism that probably his owner feels towards him as well as the rest of the players on that team? Is this just a way of genuflecting reality? And I'd like anybody, you can hit me on Facebook, Zaza Ali, Enemy Minds Radio is our Facebook page. Let me know. Maybe Larry Johnson had something else in the works that we don't know about.
Zaza, I keep hearing he's an incredible businessman outside of the NBA. I don't know too much, but I do remember vaguely people telling me of his incredible business sense and his, I believe someone told me his association with the NOI or something like that. So I'm not sure. I hope somebody does hit you up, and I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to look into that myself.
I don't doubt for 1 minute that he's an incredible businessman. Jay-Z is an incredible businessman. Does that benefit the majority and the masses of our people? And I hope that he is doing something that's beneficial. But regarding this topic, regarding starting a black league, regarding him having seniority and having the ears and the minds of the players and knowing that they have his respect, has he been doing any work in the background in order to actually make something happen? In that book, $40 Million Slaves, this brother says that one of the people in the crowd actually called, a white man in the crowd called Larry Johnson a rich slave to his face. And that's what actually made him write the book. So time will tell. Twitter's posting a Twitter and a Facebook status now is revolution. Holding a video, a camera phone while somebody's getting their ass kicked by the police is revolution now. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people go on, including celebrities, go on and make these comments and these posts that spread like wildfire because it sounds good, it's real poetic, but in reality, have you been doing anything to work towards that? Like the people who say, you know, well, what about Trayvon Martin? Y'all all getting all riled up and fired up about Trayvon Martin. What about all the black people that get killed every day? Good question. What were you doing yesterday in your community when that young brother got shot? What did you do about it? Did you take any action? So, you know, I just wanted to point that out, and I'm not knocking Larry Johnson or anything that he has going on in his business life, private life, or whatever, but this is where the rubber meets the road. And we got to, you know, we have very short attention spans, like you said. Black people are numb. Black people are absolutely numb. I watched a video of Derrick Rose yesterday, and it really made me proud of that brother, because he was doing an interview about his shoe release, and he broke down in tears because he was talking about the condition and the violence in his city of Chicago. Man, that's the least we can do, is be speaking out about what's happening to our people. What kind of impact would that have if we saw more emotion and more concern from these athletes, these brothers, that all these youngsters that are out in the streets that a lot of us can't reach, if they actually spoke out and did something, said something to let them know that they actually cared about them. When our people stood out on roofs waving T-shirts and flags in New Orleans, had nowhere to go, nobody to help them, I really thought that that would be a turning point as far as our people are concerned. Our brothers and sisters walked across bridges and got shot down, in New Orleans, and they were just trying to find safety, trying to find food. This is just a few years ago. So how could we be sitting around and spending so much time and energy talking about this? Yes, it's relevant. Yes, we should be dealing with it. But when do we start operating with the state of emergency? When do we start thinking with the state of emergency? Because what happened in Katrina, this story right here, we're talking about Chris Paul, all of those players, those NBA players, they're eating tonight. They're going to sleep safely tonight. I think we have to, man.
Hey, sis. Once again, y'all, it's Underground Railroad Radio.
Brother Rich, I need to say one last thing, man. In reference to what the sister just said, Larry Johnson, prior to this, if he had really truly has this kind of thinking, what kind of moves was he making prior to this? Now listen, right now he has the golden opportunity, like Jay-Z and the rest of them do, right, to take the list that I have in front of me and Zaza has in front of her, and we'll send it to you if you need it. All the black people that got all this money that want to buy this team, all he has to do is have a meeting with them. If you really want to start a league, Mayweather, Oprah, Magic Johnson, all of them, Diddy, Jay-Z, call them all to a meeting and say, listen, we're going to start a black league. White people will cut them off, and them Negroes will go running back to their slave masters' children. And you know they will. They're not going to do anything radical and revolutionary like that. And then where would he get the players from? The Rucker? Where are you going to get the players from, man? No, I'm not trying to be funny, man. But this is just real. If you're talking all this smack and you really, truly want to start a black league, you're going to call Rick Ross, Dr. Dre, Puffy, Oprah, Floyd Mayweather, and all these people together and say, okay, we're going to start a black league. We're going to put our money together. Let's make it happen. Ain't nothing stopping them. And Magic Johnson is going to lead it, right? Him and Larry Johnson. This is very real. Am I right or wrong? Dude, yeah. not only put your money where your mouth is, let me see all this tough talk you got, all right? Or is this just you just letting off steam, and it's convenient for you to make these kind of statements? Because you wasn't saying shit 2 weeks ago before this jumped off.
Right.
Comfortable. Rich slaves, comfortable, man. This is Professor Griffin, Zaza Ali, man. We out of this, man. We putting this to rest, dude. But I tell you what, we're going to wait a week or so, and we're going to see how this thing pan out. Because let me tell you something, the other Jewish owners of those teams, they ain't selling that damn team, man, to no black people. You know you need to stop, bro. It don't work that way, man. Racism, white supremacy is in full effect. They not letting that melanin mix with that bloodline. They need to stop, man.
faking movies. These are smoke screens that they're throwing up, man, in Hollywood.
Tell people how can they contact you, Griff, and also tell them about your blog talk show with Sister Zaza so they could tune in.
Every Tuesday night, all right, on blogtalkradio.com/MindsMatter, MindsMatter. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock from 8 to 10, Professor Griff and Zaza Ali. The name of our show is Enemy Minds. You can call me at 678-557-2919. Hold on.
All right, Dr. Griff, Professor Griff. What's really going on, everybody? Like I said yesterday, they are zapping us back, and black folk don't care. We don't care. Again, a week later, here we are. Let me take one quick break right here, and I'll be back with you in 1 minute.
Damn bone fresh clothes. So many hoes, a foe don't have one. I'm a slave trapped in the devil's cave. This illusionary world affects the way that I behave. So whenever or whatever I blaze for days, stressing, dissing, lessons from God. Need some head to take the pain from this job. It's hard times on my boulevard, trying to write rhymes like Jay and Kanye. The illest foul shit on my mind, I say and they'll play on radios, yeah, where hip-hop lives. Help the clan corrupt the minds, little kids. Love my swag, swag more than they love their own dad. Heard the music industry may be controlled by some facts, and the blow means you really blow to get 50 mil. Gotta be in power, kneel or treat it like Lauryn Hill. Modest slave to the dollar bill, you see my own kids holler, suffer, cause they father drunk, slapping their mother. Fuckers wanna see the black man fail. Made it to the NBA, NFL, died from AIDS up in jail, the $1 million slave.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, everybody. I had a little technical difficulties. All those callers that called in, I apologize for not getting to you. But the point I was trying to make is that do we care? Black America, that is. Now, we can get all caught up on Donald Sterling, but he made some pointed points. He said, what is Magic Johnson doing? What is he doing? For real. The Floyd Mayweathers, where Oprah opened a school, and Africa. But the educational system here in Illinois is messed up, and all around the world. All this money these athlete stars, entertainers got. And we still in the conditions that we are. Whatever happened to philanthropy? Black philanthropy. Black philanthropists. We don't exist. Twelve Years a Slave basically was about a well-to-do black man getting zapped back into slavery, and there was nothing he can do about it. Affirmative action, unaffirmative, Voting Rights Act struck down, high African-American unemployment, high. You know, so what are the athletes doing? Yeah, Kobe can say all that. Magic can say all of what he's saying. Floyd Mayweather, the Million Dollar Man. But like Professor Griff said, you all can come up with that money to buy that team. And what's funny about it, what's real funny, that is, the same amount that it cost to buy the Clippers, you can bail out Detroit. You can own Detroit. They're selling Detroit. Why be known for the guy that owns a losing franchise? I mean, Clippers just jumped up now. We could be the man that bailed out Detroit, saved the city. Almost on the level of a Henry Ford. You know what I'm saying? Where's the imagination? I got about 19 minutes left. I'm taking these callers. I'm sorry about that, Aunt Bianchi. Ebony said that was your number calling in. I was trying to get to you. Apologize for that. What's going on, Carl? How you doing?
Peace, Jim. What up? What up, mister?
What up? Yeah. I don't know if you just caught Professor Griffin, Zaza. They also have a blog talk radio station that comes on every Tuesday. We just had them on our program.
Yeah, I was listening in. That's what I was talking about earlier. I was checking it out then. And that pretty much summed up a lot. They brought out a lot of different things about, you know, and then, like I said, pretty much what we was talking about yesterday. I mean, it's that,
right.
You know, it's that mentality. I was checking out Magic earlier today just to hear what he had to say, and it's like, man, you know, that's my point. Once again, it's the slave-master-slave relationship. Always, and now we're just living in a time where, okay, some of the slaves, that's the million-dollar slave. You know, to some ignorant niggas, they'll be like, well, he got $1 million or whatever, 40 million, whatever it is. But still, you know, you ain't got no power.
It's okay,
really,
check this
know,
out. Hey, cool. We all mad at Sterling, right? But what happened to the Cleveland Cavaliers owner was wearing LeBron James jersey. What happened to him?
Yeah, nothing.
You know, what happened to the guy who owned the Wizards and played Michael Jordan? I mean, this ain't one to two cases. Well, I got another call and bring this other call in. What's going on, Ms. Bianchi?
Hey, what's going on?
You, my friend, how you doing? Got a little time left. I'm glad you held on.
I'm doing fine.
What's your comment on that Sterling, what I just played?
Well, I don't consider Sterling as racist myself. Sterling's a businessman, doing what he's supposed to do. The thing is that what's black folks gonna do?
White.
He still wouldn't be a racist. I mean, it's a whole lot of racist business.
Ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing against the law of being a racist as long as you don't violate somebody's civil rights, right?
Whose law is that?
It's the laws that you, when you go to court, the ones that they try you on.
Okay, I can go with that. Go on ahead. I'm following you.
Yeah,
you
so that's just it. You know, I hear
so why should
people
do anything then if he's not a racist? Why should we do anything?
No, I don't say that they shouldn't do anything. I say that black people need to exploit the NBA as players as much as they possibly can. At high school so that children can get scholarships to these colleges, and so on and so on and so on. That's a stepping stone. I would like to see more black owners in the organization.
Why would we need a stepping stone if racism is not really a crime? You know, like, all right, what we need a stepping stone for?
Racism really isn't a crime unless you violate somebody's civil rights. If you're an owner, if you do that, deny somebody of, well, actually it's discrimination. But the major problem that blacks have is white supremacy.
It wouldn't be racist if you're a racist and you're a businessman and you have power to use your money to manipulate certain things. Why wouldn't that be? even though I don't care because I already know the whole thing. I mean, I'm saying I don't care. I mean, I pretty much know really where it's all coming from, but I'm just, but that still would be considered, and that, in the law of this particular land, since we brought it up, that wouldn't be a good thing.
Well, racism ain't the big problem for blacks in this country. I mean, look at these other African immigrants that come here, Nigerians in particular. Look where they are. They have higher educational attainment than whites and Asians, household income greater than whites and Asians. So they just as black as Wesley Snipes. It's just their focus and what they do with it. Now, I agree with white supremacy.
But don't Africans have no power with that education? Like, they got that education and us helping them out as far as any kind of power that's making the change in the world. That's just Western society education.
Well, they do have power. They have power to derive money out of this economic system and send it back home where they use it to do other things. Look how much money the Haitians send back, Mexicans send back home to do everything. If white supremacy is a problem, but the only way you're going to handle that, you got to compete against it. Ain't nobody going to.
How you going to compete against white supremacy?
Well, you can.
White supremacy is in everything. That's like the worst team in the NBA this year trying to compete with the Miami Heat. It's like you don't need that. How you going to compete against a world global system?
Well, the worst team in the NBA is guaranteed TV revenue. They guarantee revenue whereas they meet their payroll. That's a given. Plus, they also have options on draft picks. But if you look at any industry, any category, that category forms a pie. And of that pie, there's slices that's already there, that's pre-sliced. And if you want to get into the industry, you got to go in there and take pieces of the present slices in order to form yours.
So what happened the last time? Like Jim, when I was talking yesterday, what happened the last 4 or 5 decades ago when the city in Oklahoma was thriving and doing that thing? They were bombed. So it's like, so how you?
Well, that's when
you didn't have
a protection of the law. You got protection of the law nowadays. And you got blacks that's doing very well in this economy. But I think that
that's individual. We mean as
no, as I mean as cartels, as groups, business groups. We got the Roberts Brothers here in St. Louis that was doing very well, building 20-story office buildings.
Is it helping out the young people in St. Louis?
Well, they provide scholarships, just like all other corporations provide scholarships. So no. I don't even worry about dollars, but I think that I would like to see some black owners of the NBA teams, and that will be a whole different. And not only that, they need to have those jobs that's behind the scene in the marketing, in the office, sports medicine, trainees, concessions, and so on and so on and so on. The same thing needs to be in all those sports. Blacks used to make up 60-65% of Major League Baseball, but you know, they let that go.
And it's all Hispanics now. You know, they might be black, but they're not American. You know, that's
true.
Yeah,
you're right.
You know, we lost baseball. You know, that's why there's no even no little leagues and to keep these kids on the street. I mean, baseball was the way to get out the street.
Then it could be a flip side. Okay, you know what? We lost baseball, this whole so-called Donald Sterling type stuff. Once again, we do need our own stuff. But my thing is, and when we get it, I mean, what's going to happen
I don't think African Americans in the United States have the paper like that to support the fan base that needed in order to support them, those major league and those national league teams like that. They got a lot. And see, African Americans don't have the businesses that they need, the viable businesses that control the consumables that they spend their discretionary money on. That's another problem. That's one of the reasons why, and you've heard Claude Anderson talk about it, that's the reason why your politics is lousy, the police, the media is lousy. You can't control the media if you don't. You're not getting subscribing ad dollars with them. They're not going to listen to you. They're going to listen to the people that's paying them ad dollars. The politics going to listen to the people that's funding their campaigns. The police going to listen to the politics. So those are things that need to be changed.
It's all in one circle. But these last 10 minutes I got, Pianki, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Leslie Jones incident on Saturday Night Live that happened?
Oh, I heard about that, but I didn't get too much detail in it. I don't watch TV.
I don't watch much TV neither. But
I don't watch
on it. When I got
but I heard something about it, what she was talking about, slavery, I think. They need to jump on her case just like they would anybody else. She don't need
and
to
I
have
see,
a pass.
That's my problem right there, Pianki. The fact that we're jumping on Sterling, he didn't even say nigger. He didn't say nigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, to me, I will hold the Elgin Baylor discrimination against him. That was a lawsuit. I will hold what happened in the apartment complex against him. But as far as him crying to his girlfriend, that happened to sleep with Magic Johnson, you know, and he getting embarrassed. To me, as an old man crying because he got humiliated by half Hispanic and black woman.
You know, Magic Johnson partners, the Grudenheims, they're here in St. Louis. They agonize Jews whose history goes back in the 1800s where they have association with Loeb and Loeb, who actually insured slaves.
See,
so it's all over
the place. Sterling knows that. So Sterling knows that. And that's why he called Magic Johnson out, because most people back in Magic Johnson.
And you know what else
Jews
before you get away? You talking about the housing project. Well, now, and let's face it. Now, it was true about the housing because the government, people wanted to have affordable housing for the poor, but poor would get in and tear your housing up, and then you would be completely out. But this is what happened. They created Section 8 to handle that problem. Section 8 would pay your vouchers, and if a tenant messes up your apartment, then Section 8 will repair that to the status that it was before the tenant came in. That's pure cash for those owners. So that's what came out of that movement back in them days.
But that's only thing to me Sterling has that they have on him is him discriminating against African Americans and Hispanics on housing. Outside this NBA deal, to me it's all much to nothing, because the Cleveland Cavaliers owners was much
Ted
more Stephion
said the same thing. Yes, you're absolutely right.
You know, that was
don't
more harder things than what he said.
Larry Bird said that blacks whites need their own heroes.
Right.
Coors said the same thing. I can't think which Coors. Of course, we know what Marge Scott said. Man,
right.
Listen, the hell with what these people say. Let's compete against them. Let's go after the dollars. That's what they don't want you to do.
That's true.
So would you agree with the NBA players, like they're still playing?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, why ain't
they
just saying, yeah, one game? Like, okay, you know what, we ain't playing.
After 10 years in the NBA, your pension is $195,000 a year. That's hard to beat that.
And they're under contract. If your father passed away, yeah, come to the game next day. Baby, whatever. Even Brett Favre ain't immune to it. His father passed, he had to play football the next day. I mean,
but check this out, Sandy Koufax, when he pitched for the Dodgers, he didn't pitch on Saturdays. He was Jewish.
Because Dodgers don't play by a Jewish company. I mean,
and the Dodgers is one of the best teams when it comes down to dealing with black players, or should we say players of color nowadays. Man, listen, take it from somebody who don't live a long time and seen this. The hell with what people say about you. You got to make them respect you, and you make them respect you by competing against them. The same way Jack Johnson did, same way Muhammad Ali did. When you compete against them and you start taking part of their business, then you gain the respect that you so duly need, that you so duly is due, should I say.
I agree with that part. The part I may disagree with, I don't think that we'll ever gain their respect because we've been here for 400-something years and we've been disrespected since. You know, so I think we will gain a little more of some more wickedness coming out of them, which still we still need to compete and stand
Let
up.
Let me tell you how they respect you. When you send them an invoice and they pay, and when they send you an invoice and you pay, that's the type of respect I'm talking about. All right, man, I'm going to get out of here.
All right, Pianki, I appreciate you calling. I got about 5 minutes to go. Hold on, Pianki, before you go. I want you to hear this tape of Leslie Jones. But I know you listen. I'm playing one quick minute of it before you get out of here.
I'm single right now, but back in the slave days, I would have never been single.
It's Slavery Night Live with SNL writer-performer Leslie Jones and special guest Rachel Firestorm.
Leslie Jones did this bit on SNL about Lupita Nyong'o being named the most beautiful woman in the world.
Nyong'o girl.
And she said, you know, how come they don't have a list for the most practical woman in the world?
I'm 6 feet tall and I'm strong, Colin, strong!
And that's when things got all slavey.
Back in the slave days, my love life would have been way better. Master would have hooked me up with the best brother on the plantation. Every 9 months, I'd just be in the corner just popping them out. Just Shaq, Kobe, LeBron.
It was very uncomfortable, but it was also very funny.
Well, Ebony.com senior editor Jamila Lemieux wasn't laughing.
It was very hurtful, and as a black woman, it was extremely hard to watch.
I have a problem with white people laughing at slavery. I don't think we've come that far.
Come that far neither. But I think white folks are taking slavery for a joke right about now. You know. And I think our children need to know about slavery more than ever. You know. You're an educator, you're a coop. Do they play Roots anymore in the Michigan school system?
I do. Now, the other people I don't know about as far as another school, but I that's all I do.
Roots is really like a bubblegum version of slavery. It's the cleanest version of slavery
you
get.
And I mean, I'm able to pull out some stuff because I don't think when you go back and watch it again, when you can pull out some stuff that I don't even think the directors, you know, it's almost like they did a movie, probably thinking, yeah, we're going to make a bubblegummy, but it's almost still, we can make, just like how we made hip-hop, we can make something out of nothing. I can play that and pull out steel on how Chicken George, he was a million-dollar slave then. You know,
right.
He took his money from the master and got fresh with it until he realized the master wasn't his friend when his mother told him, see, he ain't your friend. And he sold his ass over to London, and he finally realized, oh, damn. Then he started using his money to set to get himself free. But then he realized, like, okay, I'm been fighting these chickens for this white man and getting him paid. And that was the sport back then, cockfighting. It's the same cockfighting, basketball, football. I mean, it's the same thing. And he had chickens. And I break that down like that to the kids so they can see it in that way, you know, so they won't think, oh, that was back then. Nah, the same thing. He was that's what he called himself. I'm a sporting man. I'm just going to, you know, take my money and buy clothes. Which was still some old rags, but to them back then that was some gold chains or some gold rims or whatever. You still the slave.
A hat with a big feather.
A hat with a feather on it. That was what we might consider a Don hat now. You know,
right.
It's the same thing. You know, but I checked out you played that cut. Good look out. I was kind of riding on time for what's going on too.
Right, because that's what it is. We need to just go on here and teach our children not to be racist.
Eventually separate.
The truth of where we at. I mean, there's, I got 60 seconds, but there's a couple other movies outside of Roots you might check out that might be harder than Roots. One is called Goodbye, Uncle Tom.
Sankofa.
Right.
Chose that too.
So I figure that Roots is a lighter version of those movies, but yet it still gets the point across.
still
get
the point across.
Another version is too extreme, but Roots get the point across.
I think one main thing for these last seconds, well, Roots going to do it is show, okay, we're going to keep passing this on then until we get what the hell we want, even though the movie had to end at a particular point. And like you just said about our children, we got to keep passing this on. I want my great-great-great-great-grandkids, you know what I'm saying, if this system still be around, which I doubt it anyway, but we got to break it. I don't want them to be like, hey, motherfuckers back then, and they weren't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want them to be able to look back and say, oh, those are the Marcus Garveys. Those were, you know, I want to be that, you know, 50,
right.
50, 60 years from now. Not all them old coon, step and fetch it, you know, looking at it like that. Like, nah. You know, we got to give them something to be proud of when they look back, you know, 100 years from now. Like I said, but hopefully this shit won't be around then, be in different dimension. But that's a whole nother
that's
thing.
That's true. That's true, but I gotta go, Coop. I'm out of time.
Peace.
Good night, baby. God bless you, everybody.
Peace.
All right, one.